It's our Thanksgiving edition of Hy-Vee Chiefs Insider. It's also big game edition. The Denver Broncos come to Arrowhead Stadium for a big game for a lot of reasons. The AFC West is as tight as it's been in years. The entire AFC has many challengers for the six playoff spots. Tiebreakers, positioning, it's all on the line this week as the Chiefs entertain Denver. We'll get you ready like no other show can. We'll give you an up-close look at the trenches in the National Football League. We had Dontari Poe, one of the leading nose tackles in the entire NFL, wired for sound. Plus, we'll have tight end coach Tom Melvin to talk about his position group, maybe the strongest group in the National Football League of its kind. And we have a special holiday treat for you, as we'll show you one of the greatest individual performances in Chiefs history against the Broncos. You won't want to miss it. But first, let's get you locked in on this Chiefs-Broncos matchup with Chiefs reporter BJ Kissel.
For the Kansas City Chiefs to have a realistic shot at winning the AFC West Championship, they're going to have to beat the Denver Broncos on Sunday night. Now, the good news for the Chiefs is that while the Broncos come into this game with an 8-3 record, all three of their losses have come on the road. Now, the last time the Chiefs hosted a primetime football game was earlier this season against the AFC-leading New England Patriots. They won that game 41-14, and all the Patriots have done since then is wheel off 7 straight victories to become the best team right now in the AFC. The Chiefs are one of 6 non-division leading teams in the AFC with a 6-5 record or better. All of those teams are fighting for just 2 wild card spots. Now, while a Chiefs win on Sunday could help them win an AFC West title, it would also help them get that much closer to another wild card berth this season. Now let's talk about Peyton Manning's career against the Kansas City Chiefs. Buckle up, this isn't going to be pretty. In his career, Manning is 10-1 against the Chiefs, including 5-0 since joining the Denver Broncos. That one loss back Halloween night in 2004, Manning still threw for 472 yards and 5 touchdowns. It took 3 passing touchdowns from Trent Green and 3 rushing touchdowns from Priest Holmes for the Chiefs to win that one game. 43% of the 3,200 yards Peyton Manning has thrown for against the Chiefs in his career has come via yards after the catch. It's something we know about Peyton Manning. He likes to throw the ball short and let his receivers get yards after the catch. We saw it in the first game between these two teams earlier this season. In the 24-17 Chiefs loss to the Broncos earlier this year, Manning completed over 80% of his passes and had 3 touchdowns to just 0 interceptions. But still, the Chiefs had the ball inside the Broncos 10-yard line with under a minute to play with a chance to tie that game. One reason Manning has been so successful against the Chiefs throughout his career and throughout the latter part of his career, he's getting rid of the ball and not taking hits. In the last 4 games against the Chiefs, he's been sacked just 1 time. He's only been sacked 12 times this season, which is the fewest in the NFL. According to Pro Football Focus, against the blitz, which means sending 5 or more players, Peyton Manning is completing just 57% of his passes with 10 touchdowns and 5 interceptions, compared to rushing 4 players or less, where Manning is completing 72% of his passes with 24 touchdowns and just 4 interceptions. Also, in 5 road games this season, Manning has thrown 7 of his 9 interceptions, including 2 of each of the last 3 road games for the Broncos. The approach you'll often hear about stopping the pass is you've got to stop the run first. But when you go up against Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos, they rank 29th in the NFL in first half rush percentage, where they're just running the ball 34.7% of the time. They like to throw it and they're very good at it. We know that Peyton Manning's top 2 targets are receivers Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas. They continue to make plays for this offense both between the 20-yard lines and then once they get inside the red zone. Defensively, this Broncos team is all about their pass rushers in DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller. That's the way this team is built. Get a lead with Peyton Manning in this offense and then have those 2 pass rushers get after an opposing quarterback as teams try to catch up to them. But the player who has really stood out for the Broncos defense this season is cornerback Chris Harris. The former Kansas Jayhawk has arguably been the best cornerback in the entire NFL this season. Quarterbacks have just a 48 quarterback rating when throwing his direction. That's something the Chiefs will have to be aware of when they go up against them on Sunday. In the last meeting between these two teams, Alex Smith and the Chiefs offense converted 11 of 16 third downs. But that's not the only area the Chiefs offense was actually better than the Broncos in that game. They had more total yards, they won the time of possession battle, and they even had fewer penalties. In that game, the Chiefs offense ran 7 different personnel groups against the Broncos, and they had a play of at least 10 yards from 6 of those 7 groups. The Chiefs were doing a lot of different things, and they were finding success in a lot of different ways in that game. At home, the Denver Broncos scored just 24 points against this Chiefs defense, which is the 3rd lowest output of their season. Now, if you're looking for a magic number for the Chiefs on Sunday night, let's go with 24. If the Chiefs can score 24 or more points on Sunday, we got to think that they have a good shot at winning this game.
Coming up on Chiefs Insider.
They have been knocked down, drag out, great games. That defense is very energetic. They're very athletic. They play fast. They know how to do what they're doing. And then it comes back to we have to just out-execute them on the day.
Welcome back to Hy-Vee Chiefs Insider. If you really want to get excited about this week against the Broncos and the future of the Kansas City Chiefs, take a look at one position group, the tight ends. Assistant coach Tom Melvin has done a great job of coaching these guys up. But the Chiefs might have as much imagination as any team in the NFL in the way they use the tight end position.
First and 10 at the 38 of New England. Slant pattern caught near side at the 35-yard line, 30. Kelce, 20-yard line, breaks it inside the 10 and forced out of bounds at the Patriot 5-yard line. Kelce with a 23-yard catch and run.
Tom, your position group is one of the most exciting on the team in the way they've evolved. What's happened with this group? Because it seems like they've gone to another level.
Well, we came in very young, obviously, with Travis being on IR last year and Demetrius ending the same way. So both of them really were truly rookies this year, playing the first time in live games. Their growing process took place in front of us on the field, and you could see that game by game. They became a little more confident, a little more sure of what they were seeing in front of them, and were playing faster and were making bigger plays.
Throws it near side. It's caught by Kelce. Crossing pattern. Inside the 10, inside the 5. He dives for the near front pylon. Touchdown, Kansas City.
What's also exciting is you're getting chunk plays out of your position. I think 10 plays of 20 yards or more in passing plays from your guys. What about the ability to hit a defense at the second and third level with your position?
Well, the big thing about that is the matchups you get. They, you know, get to play in the middle of the field, and that's where you have your bigger players with the linebackers and safeties.
Fires over the middle, wide open at the 20. Fasano diving down to the jet.
Now all of a sudden you get a chance to make a little bit bigger play, make somebody miss, drag somebody an extra 4 yards. So with that involved, it's a big part of the game if you have somebody that can deal with it.
Three tight ends all line up to the near side. They're going to run a pass to Kelce. He gets a block at the 15, scoots up right sideline, and up to the 25. Three tights all right side in a triangle, and New England was confused.
The three tight end set is really fun to watch. What about that grouping when you get them all three on the same field at the same time?
Well, that's really evolved as well as far as their production's concerned. We started with that. Really, it was backed up against Miami, and we had a lot of production with it. We were very successful moving ourselves out. It then became 4 minute at the end of the game where we were able to run the clock out. Then from there, you start to build from that. Well, people are going to play the run. Then we started throwing out of it, and all of a sudden, the matches that we got and the way that they had to go ahead and try and cover us out of there, then we had big plays coming out of there, then now you get matchups where you have somebody covering somebody you didn't really want to. Size difference to where it's 6'7" versus a 5'8" corner. All of a sudden you have a huge difference there when things get a little bit more in open space.
And as a result, the number two and three receivers on this team are your guys with Kelce and Fasano. But you've also been able to integrate, and you've had a challenge here with some injuries now. You mentioned Demetrius, but you've integrated Sherman into that role. And now you got Supernaw. What about the quick integration of those guys?
You need to be able to deal with adversity during the game. And that happened to us in Buffalo where we had that three tight end package and Demetrius breaks his foot in warm-ups. So now what are we going to do? Get rid of 20% of our game plan, or the contingency plan has been all year with Sherman being able to fill in there. And he just stepped right in and did fine with it.
Goes to Charles at the 40, gets a downfield block at the 30, 25, 20. Angling back, 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
Goes up a notch this week, home. Broncos, AFC West, AFC's crowded. What about your guys in this matchup against Denver?
Oh, this is a great match. It has been, you know, we've played them the 2 years we've been here. Twice last year and once already, and they have been knocked down, drag out, great, great games, very exciting. Unfortunately, we've been on the short end of all of those on the scoreboard, but it is a great because that defense is very energetic. They're very athletic. They play fast. They know how to do what they're doing, and then it comes back to we have to just out-execute them on the day. And so it's a great challenge when you play a great team that knows how to play real well, and that's what they're doing right now.
Every year, over 1 billion vacationers travel to countless destinations around the world. But often overlooked is the experience they can find in the heartland of America, particularly Kansas City. And that experience is exactly what the crew from South Philly considers a dream vacation.
You definitely feel like you're out of your element a little bit, not seeing the row homes in the big area, but you feel right at home.
I've been to quite a few places around the world, and Kansas City was one of the nicest places I've ever been. I love it there. The people are so friendly. You know, they'll hold the door for you while you're walking in, where in other areas, they'll shut a door on you when you're walking in.
Kansas City was insane. Just going into stores, I remember going into supermarkets in Kansas City where they had like Coca-Cola cans shaped like an arrowhead. I mean, I went nuts. I must have spent about $1,000 in memorabilia in a supermarket.
I was treated like a king there. I've been to a tailgate. They weren't just offering you a hot dog. They were offering you anything you wanted. Steak, ribs, have a beer, get another, you know.
It was a little strange coming from the East Coast, going into the Midwest and seeing that hospitality. So it was nice to see that there was other people that had the same type of passion that we did. And you know, it's just a little crazier because we're in Philadelphia and we have this passion for Kansas City.
I'd rather go there than any place.
When we return on Chiefs Insider.
Wilson to throw. Here comes a rush. Poe eats him up. Dontari Poe.
There's no way in the world you're not going to hear the Arrowhead faithful. So once that happens and the rumbling starts, it's nothing like it.
Welcome back to the show, and we hope you're having a terrific holiday weekend. This week, the Chiefs take on the Broncos, and one key player will be Dontari Poe. The Chiefs' Pro Bowl nose tackle has been outstanding at times this year with 5.5 sacks. He'll go up against one of the top offensive lines in the league, but it's key against Peyton Manning to get some middle pressure. Let's take you right to the trenches as we're mic'd up with Chiefs Pro Bowler number 92.
Wilson to throw. Here comes a rush. Poe eats him up. Beats him at the 19-yard line. Dontari Poe blasts through the right side of Wilson and takes him down.
Nothing like it because, you know, kind of all eyes on you. Everybody's cheering for you. So once you get this, I never know what to do. So I just kind of embellish the moment and just get hyped on the inside. But to hear it, it's nothing like it in the world. I mean, you say as much as you want to that you kind of focused and all in the game, but there's nowhere in the world that you're not going to hear the Arrowhead faithful. So I hear it all the time. I hear it building up, and you kind of hear the heavy breaths coming when it's a sack about to happen. So, you know, once that happens and the rumbling starts, it's nothing like it.
Hey, come on, boy. Come on, huh?
Three wide, left side. Kaepernick in the pocket! He slithers away from one. He will not get away from Allen Bailey, who puts him in the trash compactor at the 35-yard line.
I mean, it's real helpful to me because when I get out there sometimes, I get stuck on just playing. So he kind of tells me, you know, what I need to do, what I need to look for. He's a student of the game. He's been that way since I got here. He knows the playbook inside and out. You give him a playbook for a day, and he'll know it the next morning. So he's been a beast. I mean, you can see it on him. He got the Hulk arms and all that, but he's fast, explosive. You know, he's a great football player. I mean, you can see it's coming because it's no secret when they double team you, they kind of focus on you or you and their game plan. But I mean, it's no different for me whether they double team me, single team me. You know, if it's a play for me to be made, I need to make it no matter who's on me. And I just got to do my job, you know, no matter what's going on, because I know the guys around me, you know, they're playing just as hard as I am. So if I'm getting a double team or Bader's getting a double team, somebody else is freed up one-on-one. So, I mean, we all got a job to do no matter what's going on, no matter, you know, what the game plan is. So we just, you know, fight as a team. You got to pretty much pick your poison. You can't focus on one guy because anybody who gets the one-on-one is going to feast off of it. You know, no matter who it is, it's me, Bailey, or Houston, or Tomba. So, just, you know, pick your poison, feast or famine. Pretty much we just going at it like we the guys that need to make the play, and whoever makes it, it's all good for the team. I mean, everybody knows, you know, how it is when you play in Denver. It's been that way since I've been in the league, so, I mean, there's no really motivation needed for it. You know, when you see Denver, you know, it's the next game. You got to come ready. You got to come ready for a long game, for a battle. I mean, we know how to beat them. I mean, there's no really secret to it. Can't really outsmart them because it is Peyton, but you got to be physical. You got to make them one-dimensional, and you got to get to Peyton.
Coming up on Chiefs Insider.
The moment he got the ball coming out of the backfield, you could almost feel the hair on the back of your neck, and all of a sudden, bang, off he goes.
Welcome back to the show. There have been a lot of discussions over the past three decades about the late Joe Delaney, a budding star for the Kansas City Chiefs who lost his life too soon and did so in such a tragic manner. But he was very unselfish. In fact, the epitome of unselfishness when he gave his own life to save another. But in the Chiefs Broncos history, Joe Delaney will go down with one of the great performances of all time. Let's go back to 1981, week 7, when number 37 left his mark forever.
It was 1981. Denver was in town at Arrowhead. It was a very windy day, overcast. Joe had come in to the game, and he didn't do very well. The Denver defense, known as the Orange Crush back then, was just, they wanted to get this little guy. They were totally honing in on Joe because they thought they could do some damage because he was such a small guy.
Delaney the rookie is going to make mistakes as you go along, and he's had one of those days today. Just give him time. He's a rookie.
It was just kind of typical of how the game was going. I mean, it was a good physical game, but Joe was getting beat up pretty good. And, you know, you could just see that there was no quit, no quitting whatsoever. The moment he got the ball coming out of the backfield, you could almost feel the hair on the back of your neck standing up because there seemed to be some electricity. And all of a sudden, bang, off he goes.
Bill Kenny hands it off to Delaney. Big hole off the left side. He's at the 20, 25, 30. He'll go all the way. He's at the 45, 50, 45, 40, down the left side. Nobody will touch him to the 10, 5. Touchdown, an 82-yard run by Joe Delaney.
What did I tell you? He's going to be one of the stars in this league for years to come.
This was the game in his rookie year that Joe Delaney became a star.
That was vintage Joe Delaney.
A budding career that ended with the untimely death of Joe Delaney. But it's also why there is no Chief on this team that wears number 37, or will in the future, because that number has been set aside to remember the short career, a great life, and sacrifice of Joe Delaney. Next week, the Chiefs go on the road. It's another big game against a contender. This time, an NFC contender, the Arizona Cardinals. And we'll get you ready for a battle in the desert right here on Hy-Vee Chiefs Insider.
Trap.